Welcome to Chapter 5 in the Service Marketing Series. In Chapter 5, we will cover the 7 P's of Service Marketing. Now, the 7 P's help you plan your marketing strategy. Now, when businesses or marketers decide to plan their marketing strategy, they need to understand some basic fundamentals and parameters. The first being, who are the customers? Who is going to buy from you? Who is going to use your service? And what motivates them? What motivates a customer to buy from a particular company over other competitors? And what are the benefits the customer is looking from your service? So what do they need? Are they planning to satisfy some of their needs? Maybe they want a break and hence they want a travel vacation. They want to secure their family, so they want to buy life insurance. They want better connectivity, so they need a new internet, high-speed connection. So what are the benefits they're looking from using your service? And how do they choose a particular service? How do they evaluate? How do they compare service providers? And then, do the customers really know what they want? Sometimes they don't really know. They don't understand the real benefits or reasons. For example, a lot of people don't understand insurance as a product. So what do they really need to evaluate insurance companies? What are the questions that they should ask? And who are your competitors in the market? Who are you competing with? Who are you playing against? And what are the plans to address the challenge that competitors bring on the table? So as a business owner, as a marketer, you need to understand these fundamentals, these parameters to be able to plan your marketing strategy. And that's where the 7 P's of service marketing come into play, the service marketing mix. The 7 P's stand for product, place, price, promotion, people, process, and physical evidence. Product here is the service, not to be confused with physical products. So you would have heard about the 5 P's of marketing mix, the more traditional product, place, price, promotion, people. We've added 6th and 7th, process and physical evidence. So these 7 P's are what are known as the service marketing mix. Let's discuss each. First is product, so your actual service. So a service product consists of the core and the peripheral service. For example, for an internet service provider, it's that internet connection. The high-speed internet is the core service. The insurance policy is the core service for an insurance company. For a digital marketing company, the marketing service is the core service that they provide to the consumers. For an education company, it's the curriculum, the syllabus, the tutorials that they provide as a core service. So core services are the primary benefit offered by the company or the service provider, and the peripherals are the secondary benefits offered. So how does the service product or the service meet the needs of the customers? And how better is it when compared to the competitors? So how fast is your high-speed internet connection compared to your competitors? What's the downtime? What's the uptime? If you're into an education technology company, does your curriculum cover the entire school curriculum, for example? How easy it is for students to understand the videos and understand what the teachers or tutors are trying to explain. So that's what is your service. That's the core of what you are giving to the customer. And can that core service meet the needs and the benefits that you have promised to the customer, or what the customer wants or expected to get when they decide to buy from you? Then we come to the place. Now, place implies the location from where the service is being offered. Is it online? Is it offline? So if it's a doctor consultation, is it happening in a doctor's clinic? Or is it a video consultation like a Practo, for example, where you're talking to a doctor on a smartphone on a video call? So where is the service being offered? Now, an organization must make the right choice about a location from where the service can be sold to get maximum sales and revenue. For example, if you are selling international travel packages, you can't be having a pop-up store outside a fuel station. Yeah, you may get a few customers, but you may not get a lot of customers. You want to have your pop-up store in premium locations because you're trying to target high net worth individuals who would choose to plan a family location in an international destination. So you need to decide where you want to sell your services, where you are going to find your target customers. That is exactly where you want to be selling your products. And if you're going to sell online, then who are you going to target? The segmentation becomes important. The third P is the price. And the price should be such which should be attractive for the customer who would be ready to pay for that service besides being competitive. So you need to understand what is your competitor charging and what is the price that you are quoting. And if you are quoting higher than your competitor, how do you justify the high price to your consumer? So how do you communicate the value that you bring for the consumer? So if I am paying, for example, 1500 rupees a month for high-speed internet, and there's somebody else offering me high-speed internet for say 399 a month, how can somebody offering me high-speed internet at 1500 compare with somebody offering it at 399? So what's the difference? The core service is high-speed internet, but how do you justify a more than four times increase in price or nearly four times increase in price? It's a huge difference. So as a service provider, how do you communicate it to me? First, how do you target a person who's willing to pay nearly 4x the price of a standard high-speed internet connection? And then how do you communicate what is in it for the consumer? So you need to talk about the technicalities, the uptime, the upload speed, the download speed. How does the speed get affected if multiple devices are maybe browsing something on YouTube or Netflix at simultaneously at the same time? So you need to understand how you can communicate value to justify the price that you are asking for. And first, through your research, you need to be able to understand the price range that your consumer is comfortable with. If your price, if your offer price is way above what your customer is expected to pay or is willing to pay, you've overpriced your service. Or if your price, if your quoted price is well below what a consumer is considers affordable, you've underpriced your service. So it's important to understand what the customer is comfortable paying for the service that he or she is looking for, what your competitors are charging, and how do you justify a higher price to the consumer? And hence, how do you target the consumer that is willing to pay the price that you've quoted for? Move on to the fourth P, which is promotion. So how do you promote your services? Now, promotion is the activity which is used to enhance communication to the customers of the offerings. So it is used to enhance sales. So how do you choose to promote your services? Do you use email marketing? Do you use SMS marketing? Do you want to rely on ads on social media like Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn? Do you want to do search engine marketing that people searching for a service? For example, if I search for doctors in Mumbai or orthopedicians, orthopedic doctors in Mumbai, I see your clinic's ad on the first page. Or you want to use more traditional methods, newspaper advertising, hoardings, or distributing pamphlets to people visiting shopping malls or railway stations. So how do you want to promote your service? Well, that depends upon where do you find your target customer. As I said, you don't want to promote an international travel package outside fuel stations. You may get a few customers, but not enough. You need to understand where do you find people who fit into your target customer profile. So promote your business where your customers are. If most of your customers are online shoppers, use social media, the best way would be social ads or email. If you have first party data, you could do a WhatsApp broadcast, for example. So understand what works well. Sometimes good old cold calling may work. if you have a high ticket sale, if you understand data, if you have first party data, you may choose to call your customers. Insurance is sold by telecalling these days. Even now, credit card companies use telecalling. So understand what works for your service category, which channel, which medium works best for your target customer. Use that to promote the services. Then we move on to the fifth P, which is people. Now, people are the employees who are directly or indirectly involved in selling and servicing the service product. It could be your direct employees, it could be your franchise partners, it could be your distributors. So it matters a lot, as they are the ones who become the face of your company. They are the ones who interact with the customer, and they influence the customer to keep on buying from you. They influence the customer to refer your service, your company, to friends and family. So people become important, because in the service sector, as we've discussed in the previous chapters, reliability, assurance, empathy, and responsiveness are important attributes, important factors that affect and influence a customer's decision to buy from you. And people can drive all these. People can drive reliability, assurance, empathy, and responsiveness. So people become an important P in the seven P's of service marketing mix. We'll move on to the sixth one, which is the processes. So the processes of delivering the service to the consumer should be designed for maximum efficiency and reliability. The process to purchase a service should be customer friendly as well. For example, if let's consider two applications. One application is for, say, workers working in corporates and MNCs in tier one cities like Delhi, Mumbai, Bangalore. Second application could be for farmers, for helping them with forecast about weather, seed prices, and availability. Now, the UI and the UX of both these apps have to be very different. If there are subscription packages, the mode of purchase has to be very different, because people working in MNCs and tier one cities are more tech friendly compared to farmers living in villages and rural areas. Not necessarily, but generally speaking, that's what the difference would be. So how you design your process to sell to white collar executives working in IT companies, and how you design a service package, process, and delivery of services to farmers or maybe senior citizens living in tier 2, tier 3 have to be very different. So you need to understanding the customer, their preferences, their use of your service becomes of paramount importance. That's how you need to tweak your processes to what appeals to your consumer, what they find easy and comfortable to use. For example, a lot of people, when they sign up with new applications on web or mobile, need an option to be able to log in and sign up using their existing Google or Facebook ID. Now, does your app have that functionality where people could sign up using Google or Facebook? Now, it helps the user, because when using their smartphones or even laptops, they are already signed in to Google. So it saves them the entire effort of registering and putting in their name, their email, their contact information. Just one click of sign up with Google and verify does the entire registration for them. So do you offer that functionality? Do you make the process to sign up, register, and log in as easy for your consumer? But in case if you are an application where a consumer does not feel comfortable sharing their personal information, for example, anonymous social media profiles, there a customer may not want to sign up using a personal profile like a Google or a Facebook. They may rather want to go ahead and register separately using their email or phone number or any other information. So you need to understand what is easy, comfortable, and what does your customer prefer. Design your process accordingly. The seventh P is the physical evidence. The physical evidence or the physical setting where the service is delivered determines the quality of service experience. So when a customer visits your website, for example, how does your website look? Does it look modern enough? Is it easy to browse? Is it responsive? Does it have videos, visuals, graphics that make it easier to browse and grasp what you're trying to say? Does it look attractive, for example? Same as with physical infrastructure. If you walk into a doctor's clinic, is it hygienic? Is it well-maintained, well-lit? Does the staff look well-groomed, well-attired? So all these make a difference in how a consumer would perceive the service quality to be. But these are not directly related to the service quality. For example, a lawyer sitting in a small chair and table outside the High Court may be more qualified than the lawyer who has maybe a 5-star office. But the customer could get to know that only after they have engaged the lawyer for his or her services. That happens after the buying decision is made. Or in a situation where you as a customer receive great word of mouth referral for the lawyer. But when they are both an unknown entity to the consumer, how does the consumer perceive depending upon the physical evidence when they visit the lawyer and any other service category? So that quality, the upkeep of the physical setting influence the customer's perception, because that's what they feel. That's the quality that they perceive would be of the final service that they choose to buy. So physical evidence becomes the 7th P of the service marketing mix that influence the consumer to either buy or not buy. So these are the 7 P's of the service marketing mix. Let's also just touch upon service scape as a concept and the elements. Now, service scape is a model which explains the behavior of customers and clients within the service environment. Now, there are 3 major elements which are related to the service environment. First is the ambient. Now, ambient means features such as the temperature, the air quality, the freshness of the air, the smell, the aroma, the music, the noise level. So, example, if you visit a restaurant, for example, ambience plays a major role in what restaurant you would choose to dine out with family, friends, or a date, for example, or where you would want to take your business clients for a lunch or a dinner meeting. So the temperature, is it comfortable enough? The aroma, the music that they play. For example, if you go to a Hard Rock Cafe, you go there to enjoy loud music, right? You want to have a drink, maybe a burger or a fast food and a drink, and you want to enjoy loud rock music. That's what you expect. If they don't deliver that, you don't want to visit them again. But if you want to go for a business meeting, or if you really want to go with a friend that you want to have a conversation with, you need a quieter place. Maybe some instrumental music playing in the background, quiet, not very bright, comfortable seating, nice aroma, not many people in and around to disturb your conversation. So ambience plays an important parameter that you would decide upon to buy from. That's a physical attribute and that influences the customer's purchase decision. The second is the space or the function, and this includes the type of service being delivered. The requirement of the customer visiting the delivery center would define the layout of the center. For example, what's the process of the service being delivered? If you're a service center, for example, if you are the service center for a telecom company, so how would you happen? For example, the customer would walk in, you need to have a registration desk where customers could register themselves, get maybe a coupon code, because at one point of time, you may have 10, 20, even 30 customers walk in with different complaints or issues, and you want them to be in a queue. But you can't have people standing in a queue, right? You want them to be sitting somewhere comfortably, having maybe a tea or coffee or water. So how do you maintain the queue? You give them coupons. So you need to have a registration kiosk where customers could punch in their mobile number and get a coupon code, and then they go and take their seat. So as the service reps get free, then they would call out the customer. So how would you design the entire delivery center? So you have a kiosk as a customer enters, maybe one employee somewhere nearby to help customers who need help with self-registration. Then you would have a few service desks that would depend upon how many customers walk in. So do you need one rep or do you need multiple reps? If you need multiple, how many do you need? 3, 5, 7, 10, depending upon the location, if it's an urban center, if it's a rural center. So that you need to design again. Then you may need to have an experience zone where people can go and evaluate and use other services, other products, or you may need to have a small cafeteria, the washroom. So the entire design would depend upon the process of how the service is being delivered. Same goes for online. If the entire delivery happens on a website, how do you structure your website, right? The home page, the service page, the membership page, the payment page, the FAQs page, video tutorials. So how do you structure and make it easy for the customer to browse through to solve his or her query? Then do you have maybe a live chat option, an easy click to call option? So how do you design, whether it's an online space or a physical space, to ensure smooth delivery of services to your customers? And then comes the branding part through signs, symbols, and artifacts. Now these could be signs or labels like the name of a department and company, for a directional purpose like entrance, and rules for specific behavior like you would have seen at airports or railway stations or in hospitals. So you have labels and banners that tell you what a particular area at the airport or in the hospital is meant for, right? So again, going back to the example of the service center for a telecom company, you need to put labels, right? This is the registration kiosk. This is the service center manager. These are the service representatives, 1, 2, 3, 4. Experience zone, refreshment area. So have labels, have directions that help the customer reach the right person or the right zone. Same goes for online. Your navigation on your website or your mobile app needs to be easy enough for the customer to follow through and reach the right areas. So these three elements form the servicescape: the ambience, the physical space, or as I said, the online space, if it's a website or a mobile app, and the different branding signs, labels, symbols, and artifacts. Now, along with giving directions, this will also be used to convey information to the customers. If they're waiting in the waiting area in the service center, you could have banners and symbols talking about why they made the right choice to pick your company over a competitor. So this covers the chapter number 5, where we spoke about the different marketing mix of service marketing, the 7 P's, and the service scape. Look forward to see you in the next chapter. Thank you very much.